Catch the Fire, Family Information Raising Expectation Podcast by the NOPBC. For more information, visit www.nopbc.org. Welcome to the Family Information Raising Expectation Podcast, produced by the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children. On this episode, we welcome guests Barbara Cheetle, Carlton Cook Walker, and Kim Cunningham on a discussion about the history and programs offered by the NOPBC. Please listen to find out more about the amazing group and how it got its start.
Hello, and welcome to the inaugural call in the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children conference call series. My name is Jennifer Gondarias. I'm the host tonight and the president of the Washington Parents of Blind Children chapter. So I'm also a mother of two boys, one sighted and one who went blind at age 7. And as an educator, I appreciate the knowledge, the wealth of experience, and the connection that the NOPBC provides. That is why I'm so excited to be hosting this evening's conversation. Tonight we will be discussing the programs and history of the NOPBC and how it changes the lives of blind children and their families. We have three guest speakers who will have an influential role in the development of this amazing group, and they are Barbara Cheetle, Carlton Cook Walker, and Kim Cunningham. If there's time at the conclusion of each of our segments, we will take time for questions for our speakers. We ask you please invite other people to catch our discussion later on, and you can listen to it many times as you would like. Additionally, we will be sharing the speaker's contact information so that you can get in touch with them after the call. And now for our first speaker, Barbara Cheetle was one of our founding members of the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children and the founding editor of our national magazine, Future Reflections. She served as a president of the organization for 23 years. Barbara is the mother of three adult children, one of whom is blind, and the grandmother of two delightful grandchildren. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
Oh, good. We're on live together. That's perfect. So, Barbara, you're the parent of a blind child. Why don't you tell us about your son?
Well, let's begin with today, right now, and work our way backwards. First of all, of course, he's no longer a child. He will always be my child, but he's 38, or will be 38 very soon. He's married to a delightful young woman. He has a house, a job. Well, he doesn't have a house like most of us. He's buying a house, which he will someday own. A college degree, employed. He works as a senior web developer at a firm in downtown Manhattan, where he commutes every day. Best of all, he gave my husband and I our very first grandchild 2.5 years ago, and he's just a wonderful, amazing little boy, and our son is a wonderful, amazing father. We adopted him when he was 2 years old from Korea. He has nystagmus, a congenital cataract, totally blind in one eye, so he grew up with low vision. I think one of the important stories about him in the very beginning was this. As we were going through the process of adopting, we already had one biological son and had decided to adopt a child. The information in the picture came of our son, and the information said that they didn't know if surgery might repair his vision, but didn't think so, but he had quite a bit of vision. So we said, I thought you, the adoption agency, you were going to try to place a difficult-to-place child with us. In other words, a blind child, and we had all these blind friends in the National Federation of the Blind, and we thought we could manage this. And they said, you don't understand. He's been turned down by three families already because if we can't guarantee that we can give total full vision back, they didn't want him. And that was it. We had been looking for a girl, but we just said, no, we've got to take Chaz. We've never regretted it since. He's just been an amazing addition to our household.
That is a wonderful story. Thank you. So how did you go from adopting a child to starting off the NOPBC?
Well, as I said, my husband and I were already members, sighted members of the National Federation of the Blind in Nebraska. We had, long story, ended up as rehabilitation counselors with the Agency for the Blind, and we had both decided that the best way to learn about blindness was from blind people. Who else? And so we joined the National Federation of the Blind. After we adopted Chaz, that's when I really realized the need for parents to have information. I had all these this wonderful information, but most parents did not. They were isolated. So we founded the magazine first with the help of the Parental Concerns Committee and the NFB, and I started that as the first editor. But it was Dr. Jernigan, who was president of the National Federation of the Blind, who really, really pushed for us to organize the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children as a division of the NFB. And he's the one who paid for myself and for Ramona Walhoff, a blind woman who was an educator, for Doris Willoughby, a sighted teacher of blind children who was also a member of the NFB, for Susan Ford, who was a blind parent of an adopted blind child. He paid our expenses to go to Baltimore and sat down with us over a weekend, and we drafted a constitution for our organization. And the following year, he arranged for us to have a meeting room and helped us put together a program so that we could adopt the Constitution, start the organization. I think that the support of the National Federation of the Blind members of the blind, was mind-boggling. And I think it's tied up in a story that a friend of mine told me about her childhood. We're about the same age. Her parents, she had retinopathy of prematurity, and like a lot of children of the late 40s and 50s, they were integrated into regular public schools or sometimes private schools. And the parents worked very hard to get them in the schools, and they created their own local organizations of parents, but they did not have blind adults as role models and mentors. My friend remembers that as a child, she assumed that when she grew up, she would be sighted. And she just assumed that because she had never met a blind adult person in her life. So I know that her passion was replicated by the passion of lots of NFB members who wanted to reach out to parents like their own parents and to the blind children of the next generation and to help make life easier for them.
That's wonderful. So you mentioned a little bit about what's so special about the NOPBC is that connection with the NFB. What else is that stands out to you that's special or different about the NOPBC?
Well, I think that's the key, and let me expand about that a little bit, all right? Mm-hmm. A parent organization does, and that's what we are, we do what any other parent organization not affiliated with the National Federation of the Blind would do. We would reach out, provide support to each other, talk about our kids, give tips and hints about what we can do. But the truth is that we all start from the same place. We're learning about blindness from our own kids and from teachers and from whatever we can find on the internet or out there. And the truth is that the real experts on blindness are blind people who live it. Those are the real experts. Furthermore, as we parents age out and grow out of our need for the parents' organization, after all, our kids are going to grow up, and their needs will change. Many, if not most of them, will find ways to live their own lives and become independent. But as we have less need for the organization, our children, as they grow up, have more need for an organization of their own, a place where they can get support, where they can work with other blind people to advocate for their needs and for the services and for opportunities that they need. So that is truly what's special about the NOPBC. In a way, it's a bridge between parents and blind adults of today, and it's a source of role models and mentors for us and our kids, and essentially it's a gift that we give to our children.
I think you explained that wonderfully. That's how I felt when I became part of this organization. That bridge, that connection is just such a wonderful part of the group. So thank you. What issues over the years has this organization been involved in?
The very first one we started with was canes, white canes for kids, little kids. When our son came to us in 1980, there was not a single organization of the blind or for the blind, a service or school, anywhere, any institution that made and sold canes for kids. None. All of the canes were sized for adults. My husband cut down a cane for our son. He had to redo the handle because, of course, the handle was big and made for an adult hand. And that's how we started because my husband, by the way, taught cane travel or orientation and mobility for a number of years. So that's what we had to do. So the first thing the organization did was we started a campaign to get canes, and very shortly thereafter, the National Federation of the Blind started contracting with a factory to make canes for kids and started offering them. We took them to our seminars and gave them to kids and gave them away. We created videos, and we sent them out around the country. We had a wonderful partnership with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. They did some innovative work in teaching young children how to use canes, truly groundbreaking. We took those videos and rented them out to school districts all over the country. There's an article in Future Reflections called Canes and Preschoolers, the Eight-Year Revolution. It was amazing. Braille Readers or Leaders Contest for 25 years, that changed how people thought, how fast blind kids could read. It pushed other organizations and institutions to start offering Braille books for very young children. Our committee, which started the contest, actually considered not offering the contest to children in kindergarten and first grade because they were so few Braille leisure books for early readers to read, that they were afraid that they wouldn't be able to find anything to read. But the Braille contest helped push that. The other thing it did was it helped demonstrate to teachers all over the country, and especially schools for the blind, that children with multiple disabilities could learn to read Braille, and it would accelerate their independence and their pleasure and excitement about learning. So many things that we did. Those were very central, however, in terms of the Braille and canes, but we also worked with the NFB to have programs for children and youth so they could interact with blind role models and mentors. We went to Congress, and we went before committees to testify on legislation so that Braille could be the default for blind children. Anyway, I better stop because I won't get to your other speakers, and so there's so much more going on now as well.
Well, Barbara, I appreciate all that information. It's nice to see how much has changed since you started this organization to now where, you know, canes are given freely, and there's many places that sell canes now, as well as through the NFB. It's just wonderful to see how things have been changing. One last question. you really feel the organization has changed lives of for blind kids and their families. How so specifically?
Right. I think I've already talked about, anyone listening has a blind toddler or preschooler, you probably have books with Braille in them that you have purchased and purchased at a competitive, affordable price. As I said, the work we did for 25 years was very instrumental in bringing us to that point. That's one way. The canes in kids' hands, which mm-hmm. are so easily available and which now instructors actually will teach. I think that, however, that there is something more subtle and yet more fundamental that has changed. One of the very first seminars that I organized and helped run was in Nebraska. I remember the parents who came to that seminar. They felt so scared and so tight. They barely would speak to my blind friends and colleagues. It's not that they didn't want to learn. It's not that they didn't want to be there, but the whole attitude about blindness was one of such deep fear and of such deep sadness and tragedy. It just made my heart break. And though we still have those feelings, and when a parent first learns of that their child is blind, so much of those feelings are there, the good information that's out there that we have available through Future Reflections, through our websites, through our social media is so available, and so much of it is good and positive that I really see a difference in how rapidly parents are able to move out of that sadness into a stage of hope and excitement. And I think that is possibly the most profound change.
That is definitely true. It is that unification and having somebody out there that's gone through a similar experience and having that community that really makes it all possible, doesn't it? Barbara,
absolutely.
Before we move on, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I'm just open for questions now or later.
Could you do me a favor and share with everyone how they could contact you after our discussion tonight?
Sure. I think the best way to reach me is to send me an email. My email address is bachedle, that is bachedle, at msnmarysamnancy.com. B as in Barbara, A, C as in Charlie, H, E, A, D as in David, L, E.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Barbara. And if you'll just hang on the line, and we'll come back with questions again at the end of our time. Okay, so our next guest is Carlton Cook Walker. Carlton is the past president of the NOPBC. She is also an attorney and a certified teacher of blind students. Carlton now serves as the manager of Braille education programs for the NFB Jernigan Institute. Welcome. Carlton, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Carlton, I understand that you and your husband, Steve, had to fight to get Braille instruction for your daughter, Anna, because she could see large print. Why did you choose to pursue Braille instruction for her?
Well, because of the NOPBC and the NFB and Barbara Cheadle. Those are the top three reasons. I attended one of the early childhood education conferences Barbara spoke about, and I was a very nervous parent. Anna was the first blind person we'd ever met, so I'd never been around blind adults either, just like her friend. But when we went to the conference, we were convinced that our daughter's ability to succeed in life would be directly proportional to her level of vision. We were pretty happy with our thoughts because we were told she had a good amount of vision, and that her vision was stable. So that's what we went in thinking. In 2 short days, we found out how very, very wrong we were. We found out that our daughter's success would not be dependent on her vision. Her vision was impaired, and she's legally blind.
that's not going to be her source of strength. We met completely blind individuals, individuals with some vision, individuals with vision similar to our daughter's, all of whom succeeded based on their level of skills. And people with vision succeeded based on their level of blindness skills. One weekend was enough, and meeting some amazing blind role models was enough to convince us that our daughter needed Braille. When we went home, the TVI, teacher of students with visual impairment, said, oh, no, 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 no. She doesn't need Braille. She'll be able to read large print. She was reading 72-point print for single letters, and it needed to be 96-point if there were more than one letter, like the word cat, for her to discern them. And that, so she was obviously a large print reader. I took what I learned and said, well, what's going to happen when she needs to read larger words than this? Also, my daughter has a visual field restriction. I didn't even know at the time how much that impacted her. But I knew enough to know that large print wasn't going to cut it. And the teacher said, oh, well, by then she'll just listen. She'll just use audio. Again, I probably would have swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, not knowing any better. But I had learned and witnessed and lived the success of non-visual skills in real-life people who I got to know and got to share experiences with and got to learn from. And that gave my husband and me the strength to push for Braille instruction. And it's something we'll never regret it. And the same thing with cane instruction. We had to push to get a cane in school. But again, I knew how important it was based on what I learned from NFB, NFPBC, blind role models, and Barbara Cheadle, tying it all together.
It's wonderful. Thank you, Carlton. And now this has completely changed your life. You're working for the National Federation of the Blind. What programs are offered there that might be of interest to our parents?
We have a lot of amazing programs. In the early childhood area, we have three year-round programs. One is called the NFB Braille Reading Pals Club. This is a literacy-based club where the participants receive a reading pal, a stuffed toy, to read with, because it is fun for us to read to a friend, and the little kids need a friend to read to. You get one reading pal, and with that you also get a print Braille book so that a sighted parent can read with his or her blind child as well. These print Braille books have pictures, so if the child does have some vision, they can enjoy the pictures. If not, the parent can describe the pictures. And print Braille books are also really nice for enjoying with siblings, cousins, or friends, so that they are essentially a universal design type of book, not just a book for this kid or for that kid. Another part of this program is a monthly parent e-newsletter, the B, and that's you can get that separately, but you get that with the Braille Reading Pals program. Quarterly Braille activity sheets for you and your child to do together, Braille birthday cards each year, a subscription to Future Reflections, a quarterly magazine, which is truly an amazing piece of work. It is chock full of great information, and it's intended for parents and educators of blind children. You get those in your initial year. Every year thereafter, you get a Braille birthday card from the month of the child's birthday and another print Braille book. It's an amazing program, lots there, and it's free.
That's wonderful. So that makes me sad my son skipped over those young years.
Because we can't just have kids sitting in the corner reading, which is an awesome thing, but they have to move around too. We have the NFB Early Explorers program, and it's the cane version. Again, you get the newsletter. You get subscription to Future Reflections. A child-sized light cane. You'll send us the child's height, and we'll send you an appropriate-sized light cane. But we don't stop there either, because we need to know what to do with the cane. You'll get a free informational DVD, as well as a terrific book on instruction of blind children geared toward orientation mobility instruction, cane travel instruction for children by their parents by Joe Cutter. This book typically sells for $30. It's yours free with this program. And again, with this program, you get the e-newsletter and the birthday cards. And again, it's free.
Wonderful.
Our third program is the e-newsletter. You can get that separately. It is also available in archived version on our website. And there's another program, but it's only for about a month a year, and it's Letters from Santa. You can sign up to have Santa send a letter to your child, in Braille, of course, but you get a print version. And with that, we send an activity as well as a coloring page so that we can just really have fun and embrace Braille and embrace non-visual skills. On the literacy front, we have the American Action Fund Free Braille Books Program, which provides Braille books for our kids are a little bit older. We have some early readers, short books right now. We have a Pete the Cat series, and those are sent out monthly. Then there is a chapter book series geared toward our third through sixth graders, and those are sent out bi-monthly. Right now they're doing 39 Clues, which is apparently a very, very fun book series. And more than 30 states across the nation will be offering another program. This is a two-week summer program we have called the NFB Bell Academy. NFB, of course, National Federation of the Blind. Bell stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. Just as it sounds, Braille, we infuse Braille throughout the program. Sighted kids encounter incidental print from infancy on. A lot of our kids just don't encounter Braille that much. We do at Bell, but it's in a fun, less formal environment. We go on field trips, we do activities, maybe reading a recipe for the activity, labeling things. So we use Braille in authentic, fun ways, but we also really embrace non-visual skills so that kids can understand that if they have some residual vision, that's fine. But relying on something that's not very reliable doesn't make you feel good about yourself, doesn't make you feel strong and independent. If we know we have the skills, then if we have some vision, that's okay. That's great to add to it, but we're not relying on that because, unfortunately, our vision isn't always reliable. We also have some other activities in science for kids who are a little bit older. Like you said, we miss the young ones. But when our kids get a little older, we have some other great activities, including those free Action Fund books, but also blindscience.org, great resource as your kids are going into even elementary school, upper grade now, but certainly middle and high school. How do we get science accessible for our kids? So many times our schools have heard the myth that blind kids just really can't do science and math. Well, they can't do it if it's not accessible, of course, but they absolutely can do science and math and can excel at and thoroughly enjoy it. Our website, blindscience, it's one word, .org, gives you many resources. And we also have programs. Two of the programs we have this year, one's going on this summer, it's called STEM2U, STEM standing for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And in STEM2U, we have elementary students and their parents as going to a science museum and learning about science. Parents and children, they're separated during the day and learning separately about science, how to access it, or from the parents' point of view, how to make it accessible. But also involved are high school mentors, high school students learning to be leaders while they're teaching the elementary students with some blind adults. Mentors there as well, of course. And then we have NFBEQ, stands for Engineering Quotient, and registration will open for that soon. There will be two cohorts this summer. This is for 9th through 12th graders tackling engineering challenges as a group, and again, with blind adult role models. We want our blind kids to know that they can grow into successful blind adults, and a great way to know that is to meet blind adults and meet, interact with, and have authentic relationships with them. We also have...
There's so much going on.
Yeah, and just a couple more. A free white cane program, so if your child's over 7 years old, you get a free white cane every 6 months, and a free slate and style program every 12 months, and then, of course, your state and national NFB conventions. We have youth track activities, children's activities, many, many opportunities to learn and grow and make good relationships that will help feed a child for the future.
Wow, that's wonderful. I knew of some of those. It's good that you reminded me of a few other ones. Carlton, one last thing real quick. If you had to kind of just pull together one message for parents, what would your message be?
It's okay to start out slow. You don't have to. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. My first interaction with NFB occurred in May of 2005. Despite Barbara Cheadle's encouragement, I waited over a year to have another interaction. I wasn't ready. Do I regret that year, that 15 months? Absolutely. Can I get it back? Nope. Have to move on. And we want to not beat ourselves up, but to take it at the rate we can, but always keep moving toward the goal. And our goal is our children's independence. Giving our children the tools to become the adults they have a right to be. That's not a goal for parents of blind kids. That's a goal for parents of all kids. We might do things differently for our blind children, but for every one of my children, my sighted ones and my blind one, I want happiness, fulfillment, and independence. And just know that the path you take is a path you take, and we're here with you, and we're here for you, no matter how quickly you're moving along on that path.
That's a wonderful message. I think right around the time I joined this group, you gave me that same message. So thank you very much for joining us today, Carlton. Next up, we have Kim Cunningham, and she is the current president of the NOPBC and serves as the president of Texas Parents of Blind Children. Got that dual role going on. She is the parent of a 24-year-old blind daughter who recently graduated from college with a degree in elementary education, as well as two sighted kids and has five beautiful grandkids. Kim, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Wonderful. How did you get involved with the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children?
I want to thank you for having me tonight, first of all. During the summer of 2007, my daughter was 14 years old at the time, and we had decided to attend our first NFB National Convention in Atlanta. And that summer, Kaylee and I were on a quest to find out how other blind and visually impaired students completed high school classes. My daughter was struggling with visual reading, and I didn't understand how to help her. I always had high expectations for her, but I just didn't have the knowledge. I'd heard of the NFB long before attending this convention, but honestly, I didn't think this organization was for us, since my daughter wasn't blind. She was called legally blind, low vision, partially sighted, everything except blind. Professionals seemed to make such a difference in the two labels, and so had I. But we went, and we felt an immediate connection with this group. There were over 2,000 blind and low vision people there tapping their canes, and all of them were more than eager to answer my questions and put me in touch with people who could lead me further down the road. I also learned that the level of my daughter's vision didn't matter. I learned that Braille wasn't hard and that Braille readers could read as fast or faster than sighted students. I learned that my daughter's reading fatigue could be solved by learning Braille. The NOPVC embraced me and gave us hope for a full, independent life for my daughter. So following our attendance at convention, I joined the Texas Parents of Blind Children, which was just being formed, and it gave me the opportunity to grow with them. I really wanted to be a part of this dynamic group. A few years later, I attended the NOPVC Parent Leadership Training Program and became an NOPVC board member in, I think, 2011. This past fall, I was appointed as president, and I'm so grateful and humbled to work with so many dedicated families.
That's wonderful. Thank you for giving us that kind of timeline and showing where your path has taken you. Right now, what are some of the activities of the NOPVC?
Right now, the NOPVC has many different programs and activities. We do offer, like I said, the Parent Leadership Training Program for those who are interested in building a new state POVC or revitalizing one, maybe that's kind of laid dormant for a while. This was a great training program to give you a little insight on how to build your own state division. We also offer our new parent information podcast, which this is the very first one. I'm very proud of this. These ladies have worked really hard at making this work and making it where we can record it, and others who aren't able to attend can go back and get some wisdom from the words that were said, hopefully. We also have a very active listserv and a Facebook page that I'm told we have over 2,000 families from all around the world on. A lot of information there. Very interesting to hear different perspectives throughout the world. And like Barbara said, we have a quarterly magazine called titled Future Reflections. And I think we'll cross a little bit with Carlton. We do work collaboratively with the Jernigan Institute to promote their programs, the ones that Carlton had told us about. A lot of these programs that the Jernigan Institute offers for our young children, they do have a parent component to them also. So not while your children are off learning about science and how to access science in a non-visual way, they have parent sessions that go right along with that to help you learn how to facilitate learning at home and things that you can do. But our most highlighted activity is our NOPVC National Conference, which takes place within the NFB National Convention.
And when is this year's NOPVC National Convention?
Okay, good. This year, the NFB National Convention will take place in Orlando, Florida, at the Rosen Shingle Creek Resort, a beautiful hotel. And it will be from Thursday, June 30th, 2016, through Tuesday, July 5th, 2016.
Wonderful. Okay, and what activities will there be for parents and children at this conference?
All right, we are in the planning stages of creating informative sessions for our families to attend. Actually, the board just got back from Baltimore with a long weekend of work, and hopefully the sessions, everything that we are working on, I think that the parents are really going to learn a lot, get some really good current information. We hope to have something for all ages and all levels of ability. Some of the sessions might include appropriate technology for today's students, the change to the UEB code, structured discovery cane travel. What is that? Along with many others, so you've got to stay tuned. We're also busy planning youth activities that will take place throughout the week where students can get together and socialize, have fun, learn. We're all about having fun. The NOPVC will be hosting a hospitality night where families can meet other families They can meet members of the NOPVC board along with other members of the NFB. During convention, we hold a Braille book fair. This book fair allows families to choose as many free Braille books as they want. And yes, they're free and as many as you can find. The style show is another fun activity. It gives children the opportunity to strut their stuff on the runway. We hope to expand that a little more with maybe teaching some other lessons, such as maybe makeup and style and things of that manner to go along with it this year. We are also planning a really fun fundraising activity for the families to participate in. I can't say anything more about that. More information will be coming. And along with all that we are planning, you will also have the opportunity to attend any of the NFB division activities and meetings. Some of the groups and divisions that they have, depending on what your child has an interest in, are the Writers Division, Crafters Division, Sports and Recreation, Blind Educators, Blind Lawyers, Guide Dog Users, Performing Arts. There are a long list of divisions for you to attend. I also highly recommend that your child, if they're in the junior high or high school age, that they attend the National Association of Blind Students division meetings and activities. It's a great group of young people really changing what it means to be blind. The student division is a great place where your own child can learn leadership skills and create lifelong friends. And I look forward to seeing everybody at convention this summer.
Well, my son is still talking about the board game night from last year, so that entices anybody. It was a great convention.
Yes.
One last question for you, Kim. What about families with children with multiple disabilities? Does our organization have activities for those families too?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have many members whose children are blind or visually impaired with multiple disabilities. The NOPVC strongly believes that all children should have opportunities to learn regardless of the level of learning. When planning our convention agenda, we carefully balance topics to ensure that all families will have sessions to choose from. You know, in the summer, I had the pleasure of working with students and families during our Texas NFB Bell Academies. Some of our students have multiple disabilities. This past summer, we had two deaf-blind students to attend. And they attended along with their interveners. These students were not given the opportunity to learn Braille at school. But you know what? We have higher expectations. The Braille instructors taught the interveners, who in turn taught the children. At the end of the week, one of our students had already begun to scribble on the Perkins Brailler. It was a beautiful sight. Two other students had mobility impairments and used a walker. Neither of these students had been given a cane, but both of these students were given free white canes and were using their canes along with their walkers in just a few short days. We would like to encourage families of children with multiple disabilities to attend our convention, and to help us to create programs and sessions for others to learn from. We're an organization of parent volunteers, and we need everyone's input to create meaningful programs for all families.
Thank you, Kim. I think that sums it up well. How can listeners contact you, Kim, when we're off this call?
People can reach me at Kim at T is in Texas. POBC is in Texas Parents of Blind Children.org. Kim at TPOBC.org.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now we're going to open up the lines for Barbara Carlton and Kim, and I thank you all three for joining us here this evening. Please, now, if you have questions for either Kim, Carlton, or Barbara, if you could go ahead and hit that star six and that we could hear your questions. Please do that now.
This is Carlton. Just quick, my contact information is C. Walker, C-W-A-L-K-E-R, at NFB, National Federation of the Blind, .org.
Thank you so much, Carlton.
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
This is Holly from Florida. We currently don't have a parents division, and we just finished our state convention, and I kind of have been challenged to get something started. I guess ours closed, ours folded as of November, so we're not new. Well, we're new to not having one, I guess. But how old does what's the youngest program that we have for blind children in the national?
In national? So let's go ahead with Carlton on that one. Carlton, you want to pick that program or pick that question up?
Certainly. Our early two programs, Braille Reading Pals Club and NFB Early Explorers, are for the youngest of the young, the birth through age 7. So as long as you're born, you're qualified for those programs. Now, for programs where a child will actually go to a program on the national level, the NFB Bell Academy I spoke of earlier starts at age 4. So it's ages 4 to 12. But also at national convention, NFB provides children's activities for children in child care, and I believe that's as young as 6 months, but that's child care. They know it dependent on what your state might do at a state convention. I'm guessing 6 months is usually about the youngest that activities or formal activities of any nature would be done at a convention.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, are there
thank
any
you.
Other questions?
That. Yeah,
okay, I hear somebody on the line. Go ahead and state your question.
I have a question. I have two blind children, and I also have an older son who is not blind. And I guess I had a question for Barbara and any of these other two lovely ladies. What does the NOPBC do, or what benefits would my sighted son have with interacting with the NOPBC?
This is Barbara. Thank you. I think that's an excellent question. I also have two sighted children, a daughter and a son. And at the state level, we encourage our local state chapters when they do activities, many of the activities, especially at their conventions and at seminars, to include sighted siblings, because this is where sighted siblings also learn about blindness by seeing how independent blind adults are, and also interacting with them and learning that their siblings who are blind can do things and be more independent. They also need to learn this, and they also need blind role models. One of the activities we had in Maryland for many years was a Braille storybook time during the summer. We included the entire family. Siblings who were sighted came with their blind and sighted siblings came together, listened to a blind person read from a print Braille storybook, and talked about it together and did activities together. At national convention, we really encourage the entire family to come. And again, the youth activities include sighted siblings. In when we have a teen hangout room or a tween hangout room, which we've had some years when there is an interest and a demand for it, again, sighted and blind siblings can hang out together. So one of the things that we discovered early on was that, interestingly enough, this is one place where sighted siblings felt included more than any other place. unfortunately, in other circumstances, sometimes the blind child was given too much attention and the sighted sibling felt neglected. Interestingly, in the NFB, everyone expects the blind kids to do everything else as well. And so we've actually had sighted siblings love attending our NOPBC and NFB activities. Does that help answer your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Wonderful. Do we have someone else in line?
Yes. My question is for both Carlton and Kim. I struggled with fighting with the school district and getting services for my daughter, and I now have them completely turned around in a 180 degree with not wanting to give her Braille until third grade and now saying that she should go to Braille right away. My question is, you know, I feel like what I fought for, I've got, and with such a busy schedule and having another child to raise, I guess my question is, you know, what can I do to still be involved with the NOPBC? And why should I still be involved with the NOPBC?
Can I
take
it?
This is Carlton. No, go ahead, Kim.
Okay, that's fine. Well, you know, you don't have to be a state leader. You don't have to be a national leader. Your state could use your help, I'm sure, if you contacted your NFB state president. But also national. We have committees that really could use an extra hand without having to be on monthly telecons or, you know, to put in, you know, massive amounts of work. I think our social media committee needs help. You know, we've just different committees. So if you could possibly let us know what your interests are, you know, we could probably hook you up if you're interested with helping us out in some of our projects.
This is Carlton. Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. A lot of folks do come to NOPBC or NFB when there's a problem. And it is easy to think, oh, my gosh, finally. We finally won. We're good. We can move on. But we really can't because it's always a process in life. There's always going to be that net science class or that software in algebra class is completely inaccessible. But more than that, it is, we call ourselves a Federation family, and we do that for a reason. Because we're a family, we're together all the time. My daughter learned to use her cane on an escalator from one of her, I call her the aunts and uncles, Aunt Harriet. But we give back too. And by being involved when things are going well and not going well, it does help build that family relationship. Things that you don't even think about, your child will learn. My daughter was at one of our state conventions during banquet. She stayed with the person who was staying with the kids, not babysitting, but kind of babysitting. And she happened to be a blind mom of two. She is also a licensed attorney. That you can't, there's nothing, I could tell my daughter that blind women can be moms, that blind women can be attorneys, till I'm blue in the face. But there's nothing like living with it. There's nothing like knowing somebody. And for your daughter, let me tell you what's so important about NFB and NOPBC. It's the peer group. We believe that sighted or blind, it shouldn't matter, and it shouldn't matter. However, we naturally have affinity for people who are more like us. I have affinity for people who like NC State football, for instance. But when my daughter is with other blind kids, she doesn't have to explain about her cane. She doesn't have to explain about Braille. They can talk about JAWS like other kids talk about Instagram. And she can talk about it. They talk about Instagram, too, but she can't talk about JAWS with her school peers because they have no clue what it is.
This is Barbara Cheadle. Is it possible for me to have just a few seconds to answer?
Go right ahead, Barbara, and then we're going to go to our next. I think we have two more callers.
All right. Very quickly, I suggest that you consider what one thing you could do in a year to make a contribution to NOPBC. And the most important thing you can do is make sure that at one year, some year, you go to a national convention of the National Federation of the Blind and the National Conference of the NOPBC. That is critical, and it all ties into what Carlton talked about, the importance of your daughter having role models and blind role models and mentors. Other than that, think of maybe posting one thing on Facebook, doing one thing. It's okay to cycle in and out on different activities. We all do that in our lives. But as Carlton points out, make it a priority to attend at least one major event where your blind daughter will be around blind role models and mentors.
That's wonderful. Thank you for all the advice there. Do we have another caller on the line?
Hello, this is Talbert Vincent.
Welcome.
Hi there. I just had a question, basically for the local chapters, that what parents could do. When I looked up to look for resources, all I could see is, like, I live in Sacramento, California. Is there any organizations that would be in the Sacramento area for parents that you know of?
Kim, do you want to grab that one?
I would actually have to go. I'm going to look and see if I can find who would be in Sacramento. I don't think we have a parent division, an active parent division in California right now.
Okay.
As far as an NFB chapter in that area, I would have to look and see.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I see that there is. I just saw the local contacts with the president, so I just was curious if there is something local here. So.
Right. Unfortunately, we have parent groups that sometimes their children age out, and then there's no one left to run the parent organizations, and they kind of fall by the wayside.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Carlton here, though. Please note that NFB Bell Academy, there will be one in Reading this summer. It's new in Reading. I know that's not right in your backyard in Sacramento, but we're looking at having one in Reading and one in Riverside, and Reading's probably a lot closer. And I can, if you want to contact me, cwalker@nfb.org. I'll be happy to connect you with the coordinator of the Reading NFB Bell Academy.
And Tom, would you please join the Facebook group?
Yes.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Barbara Cheadle. I was going to say that as well, which is one of the reasons why our social media is really important, but also why attending the National Convention of the Federation and the National Conference is critical. It's interesting because we often discover families who come to the National Conference who have never had any contact with their local groups suddenly find each other, and they also find support nationwide when they don't have immediate access to local resources.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I believe we have one last question before we wrap up for the evening.
Hello, can you hear me?
We certainly can.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This is Brecklyn. And tonight's call has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for everyone who's presented. I came on a little bit late to the call, so I apologize if this has been answered. But when I came in, I believe it was Carlton who was talking about a program where they have a newsletter, birthday cards, books in Braille. And I was wondering how I can sign up for that program.
You could do a search, or you could just shoot me an email, and I'll send you the link. cwalker@nfb.org, or you could go on the nfb.org website and look up Braille Reading Pals Club and then the cane version Early Explorers.
Okay. Thank you so much. That answers my question. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Well, I am sorry to say that we are out of time, so I hope this discussion has provided some understanding about the NOPBC from its origin until now. As you can see, it's a vibrant community comprised of blind and visually impaired children, their relatives, and teachers of the visually impaired. We hope that you will attend our next call and continue this conversation on our Facebook page. Thank you all for joining us. Have a lovely evening.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Family Information Raising Expectations, brought to you by the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children and the National Federation of the Blind. Please find us online at nopbc.org and at nfb.org. We also hope you'll join us on our next Catch the Fire conference call. Specific information about these calls can be found on the NOPBC's Facebook page, as well as on our website, on Twitter, and on our Blind Kid listserv. In the meantime, if you like what you heard on this podcast, check out Future Reflections, a magazine for parents and teachers of blind children, Voice of the Nation's Blind, a new podcast from the NFB, the Braille Monitor, the monthly magazine of the National Federation of the Blind, and the Presidential Release, a monthly message from Mark Riccobono, President of the National Federation of the Blind. All of these can be found as podcasts by searching National Federation of the Blind. And lastly, thanks to one of our kids for playing Haydn's Keyboard Sonata in C major.